Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this blessed nativity of our Lord, our text today is the gospel lesson, but specifically we want to look at two verses, verse 5 and verse 14. Here's the translation from the original language. Verse 5, "And the light of the darkness shines, and the darkness has not overcome it." And verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the Word given to us this blessed day under the theme, "Jesus, Your Holy Light is Shining." Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, on this glorious bright day, with the sun shining and it's gleaming off the snow, our first white Christmas in many years, it reminds us of the great light that was born in Bethlehem on a dark night in Judea. I don't have to describe to many of you the importance of light. On those dark winter nights, it's important for you to have a flashlight or a lantern. During the summer when you go camping, it's important that you have your camping lantern, especially when there's a moonless night. And you know the analogies, the many analogies of light and darkness. But today we speak of a different kind of light. The light that we speak of is the fulfillment of a prophecy given to us from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The light that Isaiah is speaking of isn't the sun or the moon. It isn't a flashlight or a torch or a lantern. It's the light of God. And this light of God is completely different from any other kind of light. His light is the embodiment of His wisdom and of His spiritual truth, which is manifested or revealed in one single man, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin in Bethlehem. It is Jesus who is your saving truth. It is Jesus who is your eternal light. And this He has imparted to all men by His love. He has given this to you freely through His sacrificial atoning death upon His cross. He has given this freely to all men. And since Jesus is the light of the world, we have many examples here in the church that reminds us that He is your everlasting light. You see the candles in your stained glass windows. You see candles carved in the lectern and the altar, even here on the pulpit. But most of all, in this season, we have the Christ candle. The Christ candle, which in this season is always lit first, and it is never put out, or it seems that it's never put out, because it remains shining as long as His children are here in His sanctuary. It reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. And not only that, dear ones, He is your light, shining in the darkness. Shining in the darkness of your once dark heart. This light now shines, as the scriptures tell us, as we've just read from verse 5. It's interesting that the Greek word shines is always a passive verb. Now, I know in English that doesn't mean a lot to us, but in the Greek it means a lot. A passive verb is a verb that means something has been done, or something is being done to something or someone. But today, in our text this morning, the Holy Spirit gives to John this word in an active tense. It is a present active verb. The only place in Scripture where it's written this way. And this tells us something very important about the one who was born in Bethlehem. He is the light that shines. He is actively shining and presently shining and will always shine. He is the shining from His own power. It's not from another source. His shining is His own source. He is the light of the world. This shining light, yes, is Jesus Christ. It is His active shining that has overcome the darkness. The darkness. Have you ever known anyone who's had nyctophobia? Nyctophobia is one who has a fear of darkness. My sister, my little sister, was deathly afraid of the dark. Even though my parents made her sleep in her own room, her brothers, myself and my little brother, we would kind of add to her fear. You see, we would rap on the wall at night, or we would scratch the wall at night, and she would go darting out of her room into my parents' room. Until one evening, my mother figured out what was happening, and the rapping and the scratching stopped. But that's not the darkness that is being discussed in our text this evening or this morning. Rather, it is spiritual darkness. And this spiritual darkness brings true fear. Not only that, it brings eternal death. Spiritual darkness is the ignorance of the divine. Spiritual darkness is the resistance of the Holy Spirit. And the result of this ignorance and this resistance is misery, wickedness, eternal weeping, and ultimately the eternal separation from a loving God. Thankfully, though, since Jesus is the light of the world, He shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome this divine light. I know you know this, that when you walk into a dark room and you flip on the light switch, what happens to the darkness? Just like that, it's gone. It seems like the light has swallowed up the darkness. And that's exactly what Jesus has done to your spiritual darkness. In your baptism, the light shone in your dark heart. You were claimed as His own child. And that darkness which resided in your heart was instantly washed away, swallowed up by the light that is now shining forever in your heart. You see, this darkness has no power whatsoever over the light. Even though this dark world and Satan himself tries to convince us that they're really in charge, that they really do have power, but it's a lie, always a vicious lie. You see, light will always reveal what is hiding in the darkness, and ultimately this light will also shine on the darkness of this world, and on the great last day it will reveal. That divine light will reveal what has been hiding in the darkness all along. Misery, wickedness, resistance to the Holy Spirit, ignorance of the divine. Yes, darkness cannot overcome the light. And that's why it's important that it's in this text. John is reminding us, the Holy Spirit is reminding you, that you're to have no fear. Have no fear of this dark world. It has no power over you. Have no fear of the dark one, of the evil one. Satan, he has no power over you because there is a great light shining in you and from you. And he must flee from that light. So this brings us to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the magnificence of the grace and mercy of your God. This is one of the golden verses of Scripture. And when we fully understand this verse 14, The light really is coming on, and we see the magnificence and the grace and the mercy and the love of the light that's shining in you right now. Jesus, it says, as we heard from the beginning of our gospel lesson, that he is the Word, the Logos. And in this Word is the wisdom and the power in which is embodied in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it is this that he reflects in his work, especially the work that he has done for each of you upon his cross. When you hear the Word of God, when you hear the Word, you are hearing Jesus. When you open your Bibles, when you do your private devotion or your family devotions, from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22, 21, you are reading the Word of Jesus. You are reading about Christ, for he is the Word of God. He is the manifested Word of God. Here in the second person of the Holy Trinity is the Word that always speaks, and he always speaks the truth. People today will try to convince you that they know the truth, that their truth is their truth, but their truth is always a lie, especially when it doesn't match the truth, of God's Word. What God speaks is true, because God is not a liar. Rather, people and those who don't know the truth, they are the liars, because once again, they have no understanding of the divine, and they are resisting the Holy Spirit. How can they possibly know the truth? And the truth in our text this morning is that the Logos, the Word, becomes flesh. Do you understand the importance of that? God in heaven, the second person of the Trinity, who is Spirit, comes to earth and takes on human flesh. Jesus is flesh. He is bone, and he is cartilage, and he is skin, and he is blood. As Scripture tells us, he is the Zarx. And this Greek word, Zarx, always encompasses two things, flesh and soul. Don't let anyone tell you that Jesus has no soul. He himself said that he did. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, my soul. And we know for a fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he was whipped, cruelly treated, bloodied, and nailed to a cross. We know that he felt pain, and we know that he felt the ultimate pain of death. Jesus is true God, and he is true man. Jesus is the God-man. For anyone to say anything else about him is false teaching. It is heresy, and we must reject it. Jesus is the God-man. He is the God-man who has come to dwell with you. Literally, the Greek word means that he is tabernacling with us. He has pitched his tent. For those of us who have been in the military, or those of us who like camping, you know what it means to pitch a tent. That pitching a tent means that's the place where you will reside. It may be temporary, but with Jesus it is not temporary. It is permanent. He is now tabernacling with you. He is living in you, and that began, dear one, right here. It began for you right here, but for the world it began over there when he was born of the Virgin. Jesus is now living with man. He lives with us. He is living in us, for we are his tabernacle. We are his temple. And today we see as you heard yesterday, we hear the Shekinah. He is now overcoming us. He is now living with us. He's overshadowing us. And we see this today as you come to the altar. He is present to once again to reveal to you his Shekinah, his presence, as he himself serves you, his body and blood, for the strengthening of the faith, and for the forgiveness of your sins. He is the only God who has done this. All these other gods, they don't reveal themselves as He has revealed Himself. All these other gods, they don't live in you. All these other gods, they do nothing for you. Rather, they demand that you do something for them, but not Jesus. He came to be born of a virgin, taking on human flesh. And He told us Himself that He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to serve and He came to save. All that He asks of us is to believe in faith that He is the Messiah, that He is your light. Therefore, John tells us that he and his fellow disciples, they testify of Him. They are eyewitnesses of Him. And they are testifying that they have seen His glory. And today, dear ones, your disciples today, you see His glory. You see His glory in body and blood. You see His Shekinah. Just as John and all the other disciples saw the same. They gazed upon the Holy One of God. They saw His glory. The shepherds saw the glory of God there in the manger. The disciples saw the glory of Jesus as He walked on water, as He calmed the seas and commanded the wind to cease, as He spoke the word and people were healed, as He spoke the word and a young girl was raised from the dead and a young man in Nain raised at His funeral. Jesus also spoke the word as He was nailed to the cross, that it is finished, and you now have peace. This is the Shekinah. This is the presence of your Lord. And today He speaks, take, eat, take, drink. He is present, and that light is shining and will always be shining on each and every one of you. This is the truth of His word. This is the fulfillment of His word. And today, on this blessed day, we are reminded of His holy light. This holy light, my dear ones, is now shining in this dark world, and He is shining through each of you. Shine the light of Christ. Speak of the plan of salvation to your family and to your friends. Do not be afraid of them. If they are living in a dark place, shine the light of Christ upon them. And the Holy Spirit will do this through you. Have no fear. Have no fear. For Jesus is your holy light. And He is shining today and forever. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.